Listening to the Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah. I'm Andy Bates with a chance to sit down with some of our missionaries serving the Lord in Peru, the Reverend Eddie and Melissa Hosh, in studio today to talk about their service and life in Peru. Welcome, Hoshes.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having us on.
It's so
glad to be here.
Good to have you in studio and home in the States for a little while, having served the Lord in Peru for 2 years now. Is that right?
Right.
When you first found out that you were going to Peru, what did you think about that when you first found out that your assignment was Peru?
Well, a little bit of shock. We actually had a couple different options. When we first got called, they said Chile. Mm-hmm. So then later in the day, we got a call that was Peru. So that was a little bit of a shock. We're getting used to the idea of going to Santiago, Chile, and then it switched to Lima, Peru. A little nerve-wracking. That was something I know my husband always wanted to do, but for me, it took a little longer to get there.
I think for me, it was the shock. Lima's a city of 10 million people, and I grew up in the suburbs of Kansas City, and there is no spot of Kansas City that has 10 million people. And so I think that was, for me, the original shock of, that's a whole lot of people to be living among.
And a new language, too. Is this,
of course.
Right? Was this, tell me about language acquisition.
Well, we're still acquiring. we start with 20 hours online before we deploy. And then it's, 3-4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Of straight language learning, and which I think you have in your mind, you think it's going to magically come after 4 months, but it's a process. We're still going and learning, and as we talk to people, learning new phrases, learning new ideas. So it's forever. We're going to do that for as long as we're there, I'm sure.
It's painstakingly slow.
You
don't realize, as an adult especially, how hard it is to really learn a new language and carry on a conversation. And I find myself looking at my daughter, who's 12, and my son, who's 9, and they pick it up just drop of a hat, and all of a sudden they're fluent in Spanish in less than 2 years. And just how but it's so painstakingly, you don't see the growth until you look back and go, wow, I couldn't have done this 3 months ago. 6 months, whatever, and it's so. And that's been the hard part with language. It's so slow.
How do you celebrate those milestones when you finally learn how to ask a question that you've wanted to ask? How do you celebrate those milestones?
It just feels good. I don't know. I'll have a day where I'm having one of my good Spanish days, I call it, and I get home and. I don't know. It's just this feeling of I'm finally getting it. Then I might have a bad day the next day. So going, oh, I laugh. One day I was feeling really, really bad about my Spanish. So I sit down and just, I'm going to write as much Spanish as I know in a notebook. And I was getting to like 500 words. And I finally stop and going, see, you know a lot. Why can't you put these words together? But it did make me feel a lot better. And especially since we've been back here with family and stuff, and they've been really excited about our Spanish. And we'll talk a little bit, you know, very basic Spanish. And they go, wow, what did you say? It gives you a little bit more confidence boost.
See, she's quiet about it. I tell people about it. When I figure something out, finally, I'm like, guess what I figured out today? That phrase, I finally know what that means.
Tell me about the Lord's work in Peru. How has the Lord called you to serve in Peru? What is the work of this mission?
The work of this mission is the work of any mission of the church, of planting churches, of building up people of faith, of growing that church. The idea ultimately of long-term is a national church body in Peru. We're still very, very young in that. We have currently 5 mission sites, which we are served by 2 pastors and 2 deaconesses currently. myself, Deaconess Caitlin Ramirez, and Pastor Colin Duke and his wife, Jackie Duke, who is a deaconess as well. And it's a lot of mercy work. We have Castillo Fuerte. It's our mercy arm. Each of those are connected with a congregation as well. And so we have, it's a lot of relationship building. It's a lot of getting to know the people. And eventually, hopefully, Lord willing, as Lord grants grace, there'll be a national church that we can say we were some little part of at some point in the future.
How have you been received by the Peruvians?
They have been great. They're very welcoming. They are very caring people. They are very eager to help us to learn Spanish. That was a big thing for me was, you know, you go and try to speak a new language that you're learning, you always are going to stutter and stumble and fall. They are so incredibly gracious and they are so incredibly helpful. And if you mess up on a phrase, they'll politely, help you to learn it. And so it's been great. They have, even across the board, they're just a very caring people and have been very welcoming.
Now you have, you mentioned you have two children as
right.
well. How has life, adapting to life 2 years now in Peru, been for them? You mentioned that language acquisition has gone relatively well for them.
Yeah, they've been very, very blessed with that. Yes.
Life for the kids in Peru?
They're doing really well. I know it was really hard at first, especially with Joe. He was a little, he's our shy child. But now, they talk like the locals. Lexi will come home after learning a history lesson and she'll say, well, this happened to us. You know, she identifies now, you know, as a Peruvian sometimes. And which reminds me, well, we're from a different part. But it's really exciting to see those connections. Lexi graduated this year from their sixth grade, which would be like their elementary type school, and will move on to what would be their high school next year. And just seeing her grow in that and the relationships she has with her friends, and it's really amazing.
What have you learned about Peruvian culture in your 2 years there that was new or maybe you didn't know about before your life in Peru?
I think for me, I'm a self-proclaimed history nerd as it is, and realizing just how old that history is in Peru. Most people think Peru, it's Inca, and because that was the group that was there when the Spanish came in. But there were people there they have found 5,000 and 6,000 years before that. They have found temples and mounds. The history in that part of the world is just so culturally diverse and so much older than I think we think. You know, you sit there and realize 1540s, 1550s, when the Spanish came in, we were 200 years away from having the United States. And here, you know, we're the United States, we're who we are in the world. And Peru's been around for 200-300 years, sometimes depending on how you look, 1,000 years longer than we have. And I think that was surprising to me. I just never realized how old historically and culturally that was in that part of the world.
What are the biggest challenges you face, particularly in ministry, in a different culture, or the challenges that you face specifically for ministry in Peru?
Different culture is obviously being from a different culture. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily approach things the same way. But it's also opened my eyes to seeing how to apply the text and the scriptures for sermons in a different way to the culture, because it forces you to learn that more. Big challenges we have include the same challenges you have in the States. You have a lot of people who say they're church members but don't go. You have a lot of people who are falling away from the faith. You have a lot of people who are very active in the faith. It's the same as far as the church kind of work. It's very similar to the States in that way. But there's a much more of a cultural aspect to religion. Religion is such an ingrained part of the life of Central South America. You don't go anywhere in Peru without seeing a statue of Jesus or the Virgin Mary in a park. It's required. You have to have them. And so if you have a park, there has to be a statue. And you wouldn't see that here in the States anywhere. But this whole separation of church and state that we have, that's completely foreign to them. And because it's such an ingrained, which that's different for us because we're so used to being very careful with how we differentiate in those in the States. And in Peru, it's just they're all combined with no problem. After the inauguration of the president and the entire new Congress goes to the National Cathedral and have mass. It's expected. There is no getting out. I mean, but at the same time, you have the same other things you do in the States too. So
So what's it like being a Lutheran in a predominantly Catholic culture?
Strangely enough, they just think I'm a priest. a funny story that I actually have, we were in a train. They have an above ground train similar to what they have in Chicago. And I was in there and it was just packed full of people and I couldn't get to the door to get out of my station. And there was a security guard who was at the door and he kind of made eye contact like, are you getting out? And I said, yeah. And so we go and we stop. And I'm just kind of thinking, how am I going to get out of this crowd? And he all of a sudden, the train stops and he opens the door and he goes, sacerdote, Spanish for pastor, for priest. And the people parted. It was like Moses parting the Red Sea. And I kind of just scooted out the door. Thank you very much. But so they often just think I'm, which is good and bad. It's good in that it kind of is they're used to seeing religious people and mm-hmm. pastors and that sort of a thing. But bad on the other side too, because you have instances like that where you're like, well, I'm not Catholic, but let me explain to you who I am.
But I'll gladly make way through.
Exactly. But I'll gladly get off the train because I want to go home.
How can we pray for you in this coming year? I know you're here in the States for a little while. How can we pray for you? What are your needs as you return to ministry in Peru?
I mean, for my family, for our travels, traveling, we're going to be up in Minnesota, Wisconsin area at this time of year, so that will make for some interesting travels. Any particular prayers for you?
Just the work in Peru. We have, like I said, we have a great team that's down there, and to continue to pray for our missionaries and the people that are serving as we continue to, by God's grace, share the gospel, the freeing gospel of Christ with the people that we have and countless others as the year continues on.
The Reverend Eddie and Melissa Hush, serving the Lord in Peru. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.